Shabbat Shalom. So Stuart asked me to share what we call the ministry spiel. So I'm going to do that this morning. We are both employed by Jews for Jesus, and it's been a wonderful season of ministry. I know many of you get our newsletter. You know that we've seen many older people come to faith in the last, I think it's been 6 years now, and we're very grateful for that. And as Eric was sharing his heart with such tenderness, I was really inspired, and I want to thank Eric for being so transparent. And I just want to read Yeshua's last words. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, immersing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. And it's really interesting, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And it sounds like, Eric, you are fulfilling this admonition in the last words of Yeshua. And we're all very proud of you, aren't we? And we'll all be praying for you and Rose as you begin this new journey. So it ties in really well with what I wanted to share with you this morning. There's a woman named Elaine who is today 75 years old. And we met her a little more than a year ago, Jewish woman, a retired guidance counselor in New York City her whole life. And she came to faith the day after Christmas. It was a year this past Christmas. But one thing, as we've discipled her, has been an ongoing reality for her, which is, I will never be baptized. Never, never, never. She loves the Lord. She believes in the Lord. She's excited about Bible study, but she just would not become immersed. And she felt that was crossing the line, you know, with her Judaism. Well, an interesting thing, those of you who know Stuart know that he is committed to discipleship. That is that we invest in those who we interact with in a way that they can duplicate our ministry and that they'll invest in others, fulfilling this great commission. Well, there's a woman that Stuart led to the Lord probably 3 years ago named Susan who lives somewhere deep in New Jersey. I don't even know where. And she's been well discipled, and very shortly after she came to faith, she read of Jesus being immersed at the beginning of his public ministry. And her response to Stuart was, I need to be immersed. As a dutiful daughter of the king, I'm obligated. And she was immersed very quickly. So Stuart recently had this idea that Susan, who's been a believer maybe 3 or 4 years now, should start to take over the discipleship of Elaine, who will not be immersed. So he introduced them via telephone because they, you know, one's in New York and one's in New Jersey. And on their first phone conversation together, and Stuart was on the phone also, Susan shared her testimony of coming to faith, which included her baptism. And you know what Elaine's response was? Well, I think I need to be immersed. Isn't that amazing? Now, Stuart had taught her all the theological lessons on immersion. It made head sense to her, but there was no way. But when another believer shared her personal testimony and her conviction that of something personal, it pierced Elaine's heart. And now, in the beginning of, I think, is it April? April 3rd, Elaine is coming to New Jersey, and a local church here, Tim Chocola's church, is going to host a baptism for her. And guess what? Susan's coming, too. They'll meet in person for the first time. But isn't that encouraging? Because that means that Eric and I and Karen, all of us, all we need to do is tell people what the Lord Jesus has done for us. Because our lives are the gospel lived out, aren't they? And so I just want to exhort all of us, us included, to proclaim what God has done in our lives, and we will see others saved. Isn't that exciting? I'm very excited by this. Yay. So housekeeping. You received this when you came in. You know the drill. Even if you get our newsletter, if you fill it out, it makes us look good before our supervisors who count how many of these we get. You love us. You fill them out. If you want to give an additional gift to beyond what Beth Messiah supports us for this one time we're here, make checks payable to Jews for Jesus. And we do take credit cards. I'm not sure how I feel about that, but we'll take them. And we'll collect these at the offering at the end. Anything else? Okay. And we do have some discounted literature. And someone asked me at Rachel Rossman's bridal shower to bring jewelry. I just brought earrings. So, ladies, if you're into dangling, I brought the dangles with me. So they'll be on the table afterwards also. And with that, I present Rabbi Weinisch.
Oh, shalom. For those of you who know Dave, if you've not yet seen it, Dave Gettleman's testimony is in Decision Magazine, Billy Graham Magazine. So if you have not seen it, Decision Magazine, you Google it and it comes up, just go to current article, and Dave gives his testimony there. So it's pretty exciting that our brother is acknowledged by the Billy Graham Association and put in their news paper. God is good. And God has given us a privilege to be used by Him, for Him. Every one of us has that privilege. Eric said, "Am I special?" referring to him. He said, "No, but I think yes." Am I special? I think no, but God thinks yes. God thinks we're all special. And that is why He was willing to come down from heaven to pay the price for us. God is always at work in us. God has given us an eternal word that will help us grow in our faith and will help us to proclaim a message that is timeless. The message is that of Yeshua. The Jewish people have this thing in terms of their writings. They comment on each other. And so if you've ever looked at Talmud and some of the rabbinic writings, it's a series of rabbis commenting on other rabbis' comments of other rabbis who've commented on something down the road. I want to share with you today a great rabbi's comments on the great rabbi. Paul's thoughts on Jesus, Yeshua's teaching on Israel in the past, in the present, and in the future. Actually, Yeshua talks about these things. I want to share some of that with you. There is a hope for our people. Unfortunately, the majority of our Jewish people don't believe it yet, but there is a hope. And God has given us privilege and responsibility to be messengers, to bring this message to them. And as we look at what Yeshua says, and we look at what Paul says about what Yeshua says, these words are very real and very critical for us today as well, because we need to be the messengers to our people, whether it's family. By the way, if you have family members who have not yet heard, take that as a challenge from Eric. Tell your family, because God may have saved you just to tell your family. If it's your coworkers, tell them. Your neighbors, tell them. Like, if you would, to turn with me to Matthew chapter 23. By the way, Donald, I guess you figured out I didn't use the headset. Matthew chapter 23, beginning of verse 37. I'm going to read these three verses, then ask for God's blessing, and then take a look at some thoughts as Paul reflects on these things. Chapter 23, verse 37. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on, you will not see me until you say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Father in heaven, we pray that you would take these words of Yeshua, and as Paul speaks about them to us, we pray that you would touch our hearts, challenge us, and exhort us that we might follow in the footsteps of these great teachers, our Messiah, and the brethren that you've put in our lives as we've watched their examples of carrying out this commission of bringing this great message to our people. We give you praise and thanks in the name that's above every name in heaven and on earth, Yeshua our Messiah. Amen. So the long version of the long title version is Paul's thoughts on Jesus' teaching about Israel, past, present, and future. But I'm going to shorten my title to A Great Rabbi Speaks About the Great Rabbi. That's the official title, okay? So let's look at this first phrase, Matthew chapter 23. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. First, let me just say something about that, what Yeshua is expressing. Yeshua has a compassion for the Jewish people. He wants to gather them up and protect them, watch over them. He wants them to realize his love for them. Turn with me to Romans chapter 11. As Paul is thinking about these things, and I'm assuming that Paul is grabbing this from Jesus, Yeshua, as he's commenting on some of these things. When Paul is writing to the Romans, actually, Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11 really is an extended illustration of God's faithfulness to Israel, past, present, and future. First, he says in chapter 11, Romans verse 1, I say then, God has not rejected his people. Has he? Anybody want to answer that question? No way. Let me just tell you why it's impossible for God to reject his people. Because if God is able to reject his people, that would mean that he is not faithful. And if he is not faithful, he is not God. Okay? So it's impossible for God to reject his people. May it never be. For I too am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Jump down with me to verses 11 and 12. I say then, they did not stumble so as to fall, did they? This stumbling has to do with the national rejection of Yeshua as the Messiah. They didn't mess up so bad in God's sight that God said, sheesh, I'm done with you. He didn't say that. Isn't that good news? The fact is that if we looked at Israel by themselves, they do not deserve the favor of God. And it began as soon as they got the Ten Commandments. It didn't take very long. And if we look at Joshua, the end of Joshua, God says, as for me and house, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you go to the book of Judges, the very next book, what are they doing? They're following pagan gods and they're doing everything they're not supposed to do. We don't deserve God, but we did not stumble so as to fall, verse 11, fall out of God's plan. May it never be. Absolutamente no. No chance on earth. No possibility. But by their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them jealous. This is an interesting verse because God says that God allowed Israel's rejection of the Jewish Messiah to be used as the means for the gospel to go to the ends of the earth. Isn't that good news? Here in America, in New Jersey, we can have the gospel because Israel as a nation ultimately rejected their Messiah. Then in verse 12 he says, now, if their transgression is riches for the world and their failure is riches to the Gentiles, how much more will their fulfillment be? Yeshua says he wanted to gather them, and it says that God has a purpose for them. God is not only compassionate toward the Jewish people, obviously he's compassionate toward all people, which is why the gospel can come here. And which is why God sent his son. It says, for God so loved whom? The world. Why are the Jewish people so special? Why are they the chosen people? Simple, because God chose them. His right. But he made a promise to Abraham. He made a promise to Isaac. And he made a promise to Jacob that through their seed, this one would come forth who would save the world. God has the right to do whatever he wants. And he is compassionate toward Jews and Gentiles. And he, like a chicken, wants to gather the baby chicks under the wings for protection. Has Israel been forsaken out of the plan of God? No. Can they mess up so bad that God says to them, I'm sick and tired of you? He probably says, I'm sick and tired of you, but I'm not going to let go of you. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 1, he says, basically, I'm sick and tired of your worthless religious practices because you practice them without applying any spiritual faith. I'm tired of your new moons and your Sabbaths and your feasts. That's what God is saying to Israel back then. But they can't mess up so bad so as to negate God's promise. Isn't that great? God is faithful to keep his promise. Now let me just make a quick application for us. God is faithful to us today. He has made many promises to us, and we can count on them all coming true. I don't know what promise you hold on to. Mine, one day, trumpet will sound, and the dead in Messiah will be raised, and we will join him in the air. I'm waiting for that day. I don't know about you, but I think it's coming. I think it might be in our time. And when it happens, I'm going to be thrilled. If it happens after I pass, well, then I've gotten the better of the deal anyway, because I'll be with him. He said he would not abandon us. He said that he would complete us till the end. He said that he is in process of maturing us and causing us to be more like Messiah. So pick a promise and hold on to it, because he will fulfill his promises. He is a faithful, trustworthy God. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 23. The last phrase of verse 37. Keep your finger in Romans because we're going to go back and forth here. But Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, the very end. This is the heartbreaking part of the verse. And you were unwilling. Now, keep in mind that this is Yeshua's last public speaking to Israel. He's basically from here not going to be in the public anymore. He's going to be mostly private to his disciples. The very last words he says to his people before he gets nailed to a tree, but you are unwilling. I can feel the pain of Yeshua as he says these words. Can you feel the pain? He came down from heaven to redeem and buy back the children of Jacob, and you were unwilling. Go back to Romans, keep something in your Matthew passage. I took my finger out, so I want to find it again so I can flip back again. Matthew 23 and Romans 11. Look in Romans chapter 10, right next to Romans 11. This is what Paul has to say about Yeshua's thoughts of you were unwilling. Verses 1 to 4, Romans 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them. Who is them? The children of Israel. Some people think that the church has replaced Israel. Between you and me, that's crazy. Because the people of Israel are not believers here. That's what he's saying. He says, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for them is their salvation. Right? So he's talking about people who are not saved. So how can the church replace Israel? See, it's not logical. Anyway, this is what he says. For I testify about them, the Jewish people, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that they have a zeal for God. Have you ever noticed that our people get caught up in everything? Spiritualism, but not God. Meditations, yogas, everything. They have some kind of thing going on to find the truth. But it's not God. Every false god they'll follow, like this. Like, you know, just introduce a new false god and you'll see hundreds of Jewish people on the bandwagon. But introduce the true God. Oh, no, 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 not for us. Why? They have a zeal for God. Where does that zeal come from? It just so happens that God put it in the hearts of his people. They have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God, for Messiah is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. But you were unwilling, Yeshua said, and Paul says you were unwilling because you thought you can do it on your own. I live in Midwood, Brooklyn. And we are surrounded by Jewish people, mostly Russian and very religious. And so we don't have an ongoing ministry right now in Brooklyn because they're really outside of our zone. But I watch the religious people when I'm walking up and down the streets, and they actually think that their self-righteousness, their deeds, their behavior, their thinking, their dressing is going to gain them favor with God. I have a friend who lives in a Hasidic community, and the rabbi came and installed for him mezuzahs on every doorway. Very, very fancy, great big giant mezuzahs so that his house would be prepared and kosher. And I look at these mezuzahs, I'm thinking, man, you just spent $60, $75 on a mezuzah to put on your door. For what? Because it's going to make you more holy? You can kiss that thing 4,000 times. Your sins still separate you from God. Because your righteousness, your self-righteousness is not valid. And Yeshua says, you were unwilling. You see, they were only willing to do it their way. Paul says, I have a broken heart for my people. And they have a great desire for God. But they're blind. They can't see. They think that they can please God. Well, that's because they're not looking at the righteousness of Yeshua. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. And apart from that, we cannot become righteous. We cannot do enough. We cannot give enough. We cannot be enough. There's one verse in the New Testament that says it really simply. We are complete in him. In Colossians. Him and him alone. When Yeshua came down and died for our sins, he paid the price. When he was raised, he made a way for us to enter in. Nothing else can give us favor with God unless we entrust that death and that resurrection for us. Yeshua says, you are unwilling. Paul says they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Go back to Matthew 23. As a result of your unwillingness, this is what Yeshua has to say. This is verse 38. Behold, you know, whenever you see the word behold, you should pay close attention because what's coming next is important, right? Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. Now keep in mind, this is Yeshua who came down for his people, and they chose to reject him. And he says, as a result of your hard-heartedness, your stiff-neckedness, your self-righteousness, your house is being left desolate. Turn back to Romans chapter 11. Let's take a look at what Paul's reflections are on this kind of thinking. Romans 11, a few verses I want to read for you. First, look at verse 22. Behold, then, the kindness and severity of God. See, God, a merciful God, can be severe, and he can be merciful. Paul explains that right here. He says in verse 22, behold, then, the kindness and severity of God to those who fell severity. But to you who God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness, otherwise you will also be cut off. God is going to allow his people to go through some real bad things. Now, that doesn't mean ultimate judgment and casting out. We already determined that he's not doing that. But they're going to be disciplined. I have the opportunity to be discipling a bar mitzvah boy coming up. And I was asking him to write his testimony, and I asked him how he knew he was a sinner. And he said he was, when he was about 4 years old, he cursed. He cursed his mother out. It's only because he heard somebody else do it on the street. He thought, oh, you know, this is normal. So he did it to his mother. And she got really upset, and he got punished. So I said, well, how did you know you were a sinner? He says, I got punished. Well, God disciplines those whom he loves. And unfortunately, God's severity toward Israel is a little bit more than a patch in the tuchus, if you know what I mean. Severity to those who, because of their self-righteousness, will come. Go down to verse 25. In Romans 11, he says, for I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel. God, in his sovereignty, has allowed spiritual hardness to his people. Yeshua said, your house is being left desolate. And the majority of our people have hardened hearts against Yeshua. You know that the majority of Jewish people do not believe. There have been seasons where there have been revivals amongst Jewish people. And Lord willing, we will see another revival before the return. But the majority of Jewish people are hardened. God has allowed this. His discipline on his people because they were unwilling. Paul goes on to say in the same verse, he says that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So we are in this season of the time of the Gentiles. When does that end? I don't know exactly when it ends, but my guess is it's going to end when the trumpet sounds. And what I would suggest to us today is that we better get off our comfort chair and get out there Because that may happen sooner than we think. I don't know if you've been watching politics in the last 3 months, but truthfully speaking, I don't think there's any good candidate who can bring us to a better place. I think we're going to go from being bad to being way bad. And believe it or not, God could be allowing that in preparation for what is going to come. If you thought our current administration was bringing us spiraling down, we're on a downward spiral, and I believe that we are part of all nations against Israel. I'm not speaking prophetically. I'm just speaking according to my own interpretation here, but that's what I see. I don't think we have a very good future. But we as believers, we need to take opportunity and share this message today, because tomorrow might not come. One more verse in Hebrews, in Romans 11. Look at what he says in verse 8. Just as is written, quoting from the Hebrew scriptures, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes to see and ears to hear not. You see this verse? God is allowing Israel to be blinded, to be ignorant, to not be able to believe. How many times have you shared with somebody and you say to them, come on, how can you not see this? Did you ever do that? Well, that's because they have this spirit of stupor upon them. They can't see. They're blinded. Yeshua says, your house is being left desolate. These are the things that God is allowing to happen. Is this pleasing to God? It is grieving God. Because his people, whom he loved, is telling him, thanks but no thanks. Your house is being left desolate. Turn back to Matthew 23, the last thought of Yeshua here. Matthew 23 and verse 39. Yeshua, and you have to hear this with pain. I am sure that Yeshua is brokenhearted, grieving, and really suffering when he says this. For I say to you, from now on you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Yeshua came, he was presented as the king, the people rejected him, and he's now telling his people, you're not going to have opportunity until you see me when I return. Back to Romans. Paul also reflects on these things. Took it out but didn't go to the page. Sometimes this whole flipping thing could be flipping crazy. Romans 11. I once bought a discount Bible. It was like $1.95. I thought, wow, it was a leather Bible. And I start opening the pages. The whole book of Romans was missing. I thought, wow, what a great discount Bible. Whew. But look what it says in Romans chapter 11, verse 26. This is after he says that there was a partial hardening. In verse 26 it says, and so all Israel will be saved. Praise God. See, there is a hope. Yeshua, when he said these things, you will not see me, this is implying they will see him again. They will recognize him. Paul says, they will. Notice what it says. All Israel will be saved. The deliverer will come from Zion, and he will remove ungodliness from Jacob. Verse 27. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Yeshua said that they will acknowledge him. You will see me when you acknowledge me. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Paul says, and all of Israel will be saved. You see how Paul is reflecting on what Yeshua is saying? Well, let me just say that all of Israel will be saved. What does that mean? In my interpretation, this is what it means. During the future time, there's going to be this severe judgment on not only Israel, but the world. That's the way I see it. And all of Israel who's left at that time, probably Israel as a whole, will acknowledge Yeshua as the Messiah. And Israel as a people will look upon him whom they pierced, mourn as one for an only son, and they will say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, probably when Yeshua is descending and his feet will land on the Mount of Olives. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The Messiah returns to set up his kingdom on the throne of David. Verse 27 here it says, my covenant, for this is my covenant with them. God made a promise. He is going to fulfill the promise. Unfortunately, there's a problem. Prior to all of Israel coming to faith, if we look at Zechariah, the majority of the Jewish people are going to be martyred. And so, during the time now until that time, we, as the body of Messiah, whether we're Jewish or Gentile, we have to bring this message to our people. Because when the end begins, it may be too late. Because right now we're seeing, you know, the beheading of Christian people in the Middle East and all over. And it's happening even on the streets of in civilized world. Well, there's going to come a day where the Jewish people are going to be the targeted ones. And it's going to be happening all over the place. And if you just say that you're Jewish, the next thing you may see is your head rolling off. That's really the reality. And it's something that is going to happen on a worldwide basis. I'm not saying this to scare us. This is what the Bible says, and this is what's happening today. So between now and the time of the Jewish people recognizing Jesus as Messiah, we have to be out there proclaiming the Messiah. We have to be out there challenging people. We have to be out there like Eric and saying, listen, I'm afraid of being rejected, but this message is way more important to you. And if you don't like what I have to say, you don't have to ever talk to me again, but you need to hear this message. You need to hear it because it is the only way. Paul tells us all of Israel will be saved. Yeshua says, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This event will happen. I don't know when. I know it will happen. And I know that between now and then, we have a responsibility. Our responsibility is to proclaim this message. To live what we believe. If you believe there's no other way to get to heaven than other than Yeshua, then everyone in your life, even if you don't particularly like them, you should be sharing it with them. Because you might be the very person whose God raised up in that environment to be the messenger. Yeshua, the great rabbi, has some really great stuff to say about his people. He was brokenhearted. If you don't have that kind of compassion for Israel, ask God to let you be brokenhearted. Ask him to share his compassion for Israel with you. Ask him to share his compassion for the world with you. And then when he's burning in your heart, make sure you tell the people he brings in your life. You know, it's good that these great rabbis have written to us. But the reality is the Bible is for every child of God. It is a word for every one of us. We don't have to be a rabbi to read it, to interpret it, or to imply it. We just read it and make it real in our lives. But I want to encourage us, let us listen to the great rabbi and the greatest of all rabbis on their thinking about our people. I don't know if you share your faith or not, but I want to encourage you to share your faith. If you're afraid, don't be afraid, because if you're rejected by people, you'll be honored by your Father in heaven. If you're rejected by people and they say, don't ever talk to me again, don't listen. Keep on telling them. When they slam the door in your face, keep going back. And be steadfast, because if it's real, it's really important that you do not give up on anyone God has put in your life. I want to close in a word of prayer, but before I do, I just want to ask you, if you're sitting here and you've never actually believed, what's holding you back? There's only one way to enter into the presence of a holy God, and that's because your sins have been forgiven through a righteous Messiah who's died for you and then raised on your behalf. If you've never believed, why not do it today? Why not ask him, save me, Lord? And if you're saved and you're holding back, why don't you say to God today, God, I'm here. Use me today. I assure you that if you're willing, he's certainly able to use you in your circumstance, wherever you are, every day. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks and praise for the completed work of Yeshua. We thank you, Lord, that this message is as real today as it was when Yeshua spoke these words, as real as it was when Paul was thinking about these words. They are real. Help these words be very real and dear to our heart. Help us to be compassionate toward the lost sheep of the house of Israel and the lost people in the world. Give us opportunity, Lord, to be used for your kingdom. And Father, if there's someone here who's never accepted Yeshua, I pray that you would move on their heart. And even this moment, they would see their need. They would call out to you and ask for forgiveness. If you are here and you want to be saved today, maybe you just don't even understand it. You have some questions you want to ask. I want to pray for you, if that's okay. I'd like you to raise your hand. Let me pray for you right now that today you could be saved, or at least get understanding about why this is so important. Is anybody here you want me to pray? If you're here and you believe and God is speaking to you and you're being challenged to be a witness, but you realize you don't have the ability to be a witness and you want to ask God to be your helper, let me pray for you right now. Just slip your hand up. Lord, you see each of these hands. Lord, I pray for each one that we do not rely on our knowledge, on our ability, but we rely on the power of your Spirit, that we would have opportunity to proclaim the message of hope to our people, to our neighbors, to Jewish, to Gentile alike, and that you would multiply opportunities to each one who's raising their hand. I pray more so that you would guard their hearts from changing their mind, that they would be faithful to be used by the King of Kings, and that even, Lord, if it's pleasing in your sight, you would give them opportunity to bring someone to salvation and let them rejoice with you as the angels in heaven rejoice because one has repented. Use them to encourage brethren and share the message and give them a sense of your victory, because you are the one who is going to add fruit to each seed sown. We thank you for these things. We thank you for your eternal goodness. And we pray, Father, that we would be found as faithful servants to the King until that day when we do acknowledge you in your presence. And may we be empowered by the Ruach HaKodesh that's in us, that we would bring glory and honor to the King of Kings. Amen.